Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something really useful, a Reese patch that feels like a DJ tool, not just a sound design experiment. The goal is a bass line that can live under jungle or old school D&B drums, move with a groove, and still stay clean enough to mix in and out without causing chaos in the low end. That matters because in this style, the bass is never just a sound, it's part of the arrangement. It lives in the drop, the switch, and the outro. It needs attitude, motion, and pressure. But it also needs discipline. If the sub gets sloppy or the stereo image gets too wide, the whole tune starts to fight the kick, snare, and break. So before we touch the synth, start with the drums. Drop in a simple loop in Ableton Live 12. Kick, snare on 2 and 4, and a break or ghosted break pattern around it. Keep it minimal at first. Give yourself a 2-bar loop and let the drums speak before the bass enters. For jungle and old school D&B, the snare is often the anchor. That snare tells the bass where to sit. What to listen for here is simple. Does the drum loop already feel like a phrase? And is there a clear pocket after the snare, where the bass can answer without stepping on it? Once that groove feels solid, build the bass in 2 parts. A classic Reese works best when the sub and the movement are separated. That's one of the biggest keys to getting this right. Use an instrument rack with 2 chains, or just 2 tracks if that feels faster. 1 chain is your sub. Keep that dead simple. A sine wave is perfect, or something very pure and centered. Mono only. No width. No heavy distortion. No fancy movement. This is the foundation. The 2nd chain is your Reese layer. This is where the character lives. In Waveatable, start with 2 saw-style oscillators, or a saw and a square. Keep the detune modest. Don't go huge right away. In D&B, too much spread turns the bass into a blurry pad. You want beating. Is stability and tension in the midrange, not a washed-out wall of sound. If you prefer operator, use a simple oscillator stack there instead. Again, keep it basic, slight detune. 1 oscillator a little louder than the other and let processing do the work. For a more ragged jungle feel, that simpler, dirtier route often wins. For a cleaner roller-style Reese, Waveatable can stay tighter and more controlled. Why this works in D&B is because the low end needs to stay stable while the mid-range does the moving. If both the sub and the stereo motion live in the same space, the bass collapses fast in a club or in mono. Flip the roles, and suddenly the bass gets louder, clearer, and easier to mix. On the sub chain, keep it mono and clean. If needed, low pass it around 80 to 120 Hz, but don't overthink it. The main point is stability. On the Reese chain, high pass it in roughly that same area so it doesn't double the sub too much. That lets the movement live in the low mids and mids, where the character is actually heard. Now shape the envelope so the bass feels like it belongs in a DJ-friendly phrase. Fast attack, short to medium decay. Moderate sustain if you want a held Reese, or lower sustain if you want something more punchy and stab-like. Short release, unless you specifically want to overlap. The trick here is to make the note speak quickly, then let it wobble underneath. That gives you attack at the front and pressure in the tail. It's especially effective in jungle because it leaves space for the break to breathe. What to listen for now is whether the bass arrives before the drum transient is gone, and whether the held notes still feel rhythmic. If the bass just smears across the bar, the groove loses shape. Next, bring in movement with a filter. Put auto filter on the Reese layer, not the sub. Start with a low pass or a band pass feel, depending on the tone you want. Low pass gives you that opening and closing growl. Band pass can push it toward a more nasal, vintage jungle edge. Keep the motion subtle. This is not dubstep. You don't want giant sweeps everywhere. Small cutoff changes, a bit of envelope or LFO movement, and low to moderate resonance are usually enough. Let the filter breathe rather than wobble. The bass should feel alive, not seasick. Then add grit, but only to the mid layer. Saturator or drum bus are both great for this. You can also use overdrive if you want a rougher edge. Just keep the sub clean. That's non-negotiable. A solid chain might look like synth, then filter, then saturation, then EQ. If you want a dirtier jungle flavor, try drive before the filter so the tone gets rougher in a more aggressive way. If you want a cleaner classic Reese, keep the filter first and let the saturation warm it up after. A useful rule here is this. Distortion should create attitude, not destroy pitch. If you can't still hear the movement after saturation, back off, and always trim the output after adding drive so louder doesn't trick you into thinking better. Now carve the bass around the drums with EQ8. High pass the Reese layer around your crossover point, often somewhere between 80 and 120 Hz depending on how the sub is built. If the loop starts getting boxy, gently trim the 200 to 400 Hz area. And if the distorted edge gets too sharp, control the 2 to 5 kHz zone a little. That's another important DNB thing. The bass has to leave room for the break texture and the snare crack. If the low mids build up too much, the groove loses definition fast. What to listen for here is whether the snare still punches through when the bass is playing. If the snare disappears, the bass is too wide, too loud, or too crowded in the low mids. Fix that before you add more processing. Timing matters just as much as tone. In DNB, tiny placement changes can completely change the feel. If the bass lands a hair early, it can blur the kick. If it lands late, the groove starts to feel lazy. So try nudging your MIDI notes by a few milliseconds in either direction and compare. A little early gives urgency. A little late gives weight. That tiny choice can make the difference between dangerous and sloppy. Now start shaping the phrase like a DJ tool. Don't think in one-bar loops. Think in 8-bar and 16-bar motion. A strong starting idea is to write an 8-bar phrase where bars 1 and 2 establish the motif, bars 3 and 4 repeat it with a small variation, bars 5 and 6 open the filter or answer the snare, and bars 7 and 8 pull back a little to make room for a transition. That phrasing matters because a real drop needs somewhere to go. If everything is full on bar 1, the tune has nowhere to escalate. A bit of restraint makes the second half hit harder. A great jungle move is to let the bass answer the break instead of filling every gap. That gives the drums space to breathe and makes the arrangement feel more human and less looped. If the sound is already close to what you want, print it, freeze it, flatten it, or resample the Reese layer into audio. This is where things often get better, not worse. Once the sound is audio, you can cut tiny gaps before snare hits, reverse small tails into transitions, or duplicate one bar and change only the ending. That's a big workflow win in DNB. Sometimes the best move is to stop tweaking the synth and start arranging the phrase. If the interaction between the filter, saturation, and note shape feels right, commit it. Don't chase 1% and lose the pocket. A very practical habit is to keep a cleaner print, a dirtier print, and a stripped-down print. That gives you instant arrangement options for the second half of the drop, the outro, or a DJ mix out without rebuilding the whole patch. Now test the bass against the full groove, not solo, with drums, always with drums. Try two versions, one more sustained, one more choppy and gated. The sustained version usually works better for darker rollers and heavier pressure. The choppier version can be perfect for jungle bounce and sharper break detail. Neither is right all the time. The right one is the one that supports the drums instead of fighting them. What to listen for here is whether the snare still feels like the sentence-ending event in the bar, and whether the bass groove pushes the drums forward rather than sitting on top of them. If the snare loses authority, the patch is too much. If the bass feels weak in mono, the width or facey motion is probably doing too much of the work. One more useful tip. Leave a tiny bit of emptiness before the downbeat sometimes. In darker DNB, that little gap can make the next bass hit feel much heavier. The absence creates the impact. To finish, build a DJ-friendly 16-bar idea. Make the first 8 bars establish the sound and the relationship with the drums. Then make the second 8 bars slightly more dangerous. That could mean a little more drive, a slightly darker filter shape, a small change in note rhythm, or a printed variation with extra grit. Don't just make it louder, make it more legible. If you want the arrangement to be mix-friendly, think about the outro too. Strip the low mid density a little, reduce the notes, or use a thinner filtered version so a DJ can blend the next tune cleanly. So the core lesson is this: keep the sub mono and clean, let the Reese layer carry the motion, use simple oscillators and control detune, process the mid layer with saturation and filtering, and shape the bass like a phrase, not a loop. That's how you get a Reese that feels thick, nasty, and rhythmic, but still works like a real DNB tool. Now take the mini exercise and build that 8-bar loop. Keep it stock devices only, 2 layers only, and make one clear variation. Then check it in mono, with drums, and in context with the snare. If it still feels solid in those 3 states, you're on the right track, and if you want the full challenge, go for the 16-bar version next. Make the second half darker, tighter, or more aggressive without changing the core identity. That's how you turn a good Reese into a proper drop weapon. Nice work. Build it, print it, and let the groove do the talking.